We're in a series called Seven Words to Change Your Life. Seven Words to Change Your Life. And the idea of the series is that words have power, and sometimes the smaller the word, the greater impact on your life. And the word that we're going to point to today and talk about today in regard to moms as we honor and celebrate them is this one right here. Wow! We look at what moms do and we go, wow! And then someone pointed out that wow, if you just flip it upside down, is mom. And what do you know? I mean, it's so easy. It's right there. And so we're going to keep honoring moms this morning. You know, one of the Ten Commandments is to honor our mother and our father. In Exodus chapter 20 at verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Another translation, honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you. It's the first command with a promise attached to it. And so that's what we're going to do. Honor in the Greek is the word time. It means to value, to respect, to highly esteem. And that's what we're going to do today. Our big idea, if you're a note taker, is going to have some tangible things for you today, is this right here. We can see, and we should say, wow, to honor moms among us. This is a good thing. We're obeying God when we do this. We can see, and we should say, wow, to honor God, to honor moms among us. And so what's going to happen this morning is moms are going to walk out of here feeling encouraged, but there's also a lot of non-moms in here. Amen? If you're a non-mom in here, say amen. There's a lot of us in here. Most of us are guys. And what's cool is for those of us who are sons, for those of us who are daughters, for those of us who are husbands, we're going to have some tangible ways to say wow at the end of this message, to show our wow, to show our gratitude and appreciation in tangible ways. Okay, the first part of this message, we're going to give you five things. Five, we're going to go to the next slide. Five ways we see Christ-like wow in you moms. Five ways we see Christ-like wow in you and in your lives. And I just, as a caveat before we dive in, I can promise you that as we move through this list, and the reason why we're doing this is in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, everything good in our lives, every good gift in our lives is a gift from the Father in heaven. And so when we're honoring moms and when we're praising things that we see in you for the Christ-like characteristics that we see in your life, we are honoring you, but actually our appreciation, our adoration, our affection goes past you all the way to the God who created you and carved out this amazing role for you in all of our lives. And so yes, we're honoring you, but ultimately we're honoring God above all of us for the things that he does through you. Now, here's the caveat. As I go through this list, because you're humble and because you're sensitive and because you, like all of us, probably struggle with comparison here and there. You go, I don't measure up, or I'm not like her, I'm not like them, and we don't do this, enough of this. You're going to feel these little thoughts creep in your head like, well, you're not really like that. Oh, well, you don't really do that. And my encouragement to you is to just open your eyes and your heart to just receive this, because I promise every one of these Christ-like things are visible in and through your life. Okay, let's move through this list. Here's five ways we see Christ-like wow in you. Here's number one. Number one, we see your sacrificial life. We see your sacrificial life. We see moms around us and among us all the time who are making incredible sacrifices in and with your life. In John chapter 15 at verse 13, God's word says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life, to sacrifice for one's friends. And you make so many sacrifices for your friends, but most importantly for your own family. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is the ultimate example of that, of course. And for each one of these five Christ-like characteristics, after we honor you, we're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for being able to see this in our moms. Similarly, in Matthew chapter 20 at verse 28, it says this, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus did for us. And this is what we see in you moms. We see your sacrificial life. We see your service and your good deeds. And it starts early. I just made a working list here. It starts when you become pregnant. And for 9 months, you're serving, you're carrying, you're nourishing, you're praying over, you're thinking about. And then it constantly continues from there, the prayers, the support, the emotional support, the staying up late to get things done, Is there one of the most amazing things is how moms will not go to bed until everything is done. Men, can I get an amen? Men, okay. It's Mother's Day. We got 24 minutes left in this thing, and this one is for free. When I give you an opportunity to say amen about a Christ-like attribute you see in your wife or your mom, I would not limp into that thing and go, amen. I would go, amen. So we see your sacrificial life in examples like how you will not go to bed, moms, until everything gets done. Men, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about right there. That is what I'm talking about right there. You keep us safe. You keep us fed. The amazing meals, cleaning up all of the messes, the incredible competence. This community is filled with the most competent men, women. Your time, your talent, your treasure, the multitasking. Many of you are committed to work inside of the home. Many of you are committed to work outside of the home. Some of you are committed to work outside and inside of the home. You never really get to make that choice, and you are amazing in all these things, constantly making sacrifices. And in those things, we see Jesus in you, and we thank Jesus because of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We see your sacrificial life. Here's the second thing we see. We see your unconditional love. We see your unconditional love. We see it, we feel it, we appreciate it, we bathe in it, we're grateful for it, we're shaped by it, your unconditional love. In 1 John chapter 4 at verse 16, it says this, talks about God's love for us. And so we know, and we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence. Love makes us confident. It builds our confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Love gives us confidence. Love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. I want to go back to a phrase in the last slide right here. In this world, we are like Jesus. Moms, when we see the unconditional love that you dole out to your family members, to your friends, in this world, you're like Jesus. That's a love that drives out fear. That's a love that gives confidence. That's a love that girds us for the rest of our lives. I was thinking about this. So I have not been really emotional for the first year since my own mom passed away about 3.5 years ago. But one thing that I have noticed this week, and it's just amazing how the sensors go up on when it's Mother's Day week, and you start to think about your mom more and more. And one thing I have noticed is that when my mom passed away, my greatest, and my wife is here and you're amazing, but my greatest cheerleader, the one who instilled in me the most confidence, the one who I knew was for me, had gone into heaven. And so that girding, that knowing, and one of the ways that she would do it, she would go to these, I've told this story before, but it's Mother's Day, I'll tell it again. When we were at sporting events, she would just yell out one thing. When I scored a goal or scored a touchdown or made a tackle or made a basket, she would just yell out, "My son!" That's what she yelled. And when she did that, I'll be honest, I got a little lift. I got a little boost. I knew that she was for me, that unconditional love. And here's the thing. The love of a mother, it's not an if you perform, then you'll be loved. It's a before you were born, I loved you. It's not an if you meet certain conditions. It's a I will make sure all of the conditions and the environment are met and ready so that when you grow up into them, you always know that you are unconditionally loved. And this love is a lot like Jesus. It's not about performance. It's just love. It's not about meeting conditions. It's the conditions are met. You are loved. And confidence comes from that. And fears are driven out because of that. You are loved. And because of that unconditional love we see in you, we say thank you to Jesus. There's a third thing that I see. We see your redemptive teaching. We see your sacrificial life. We see your unconditional love. We see your redemptive teaching. Now, right about now, there are some moms in here who are probably going, man, I don't see myself as a teacher. Unless you are a teacher, you probably see yourself as a teacher if you're a teacher by trade. But make no mistake, moms, you're a teacher. And let me tell you, as I looked at the Gospels this week, it popped out to me in a new and fresh way that moms teach in the same way that Jesus taught. And what I mean by that is you don't teach, you don't sit down in a classroom all the time. You don't make sure you're in a synagogue or a church to make sure that you can dole out a lesson like a pastor would. You teach on the journey, the road, the pathways of real life. Amen? And this is what Jesus did. I'm just going to show you a glimpse of one chapter. This is a day and a half in the life of Jesus right after he came down from the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapter 8, we just look at a day in the life of Jesus. And I go, this is how moms teach. Here's where how it starts. It starts Matthew 8, verse 1. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, he's coming down from the Sermon on the Mount. And the first thing he does is he heals a leper. And then the next, he says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum. So they moved into the town of Capernaum. And what he did there is he healed the paralytic and talked. And then the next movement is when Jesus came into Peter's house. This is actually Peter's mother-in-law's house. And he heals Peter's mother-in-law in that situation. And then he moves on and says, when evening came. And then he drove out some demons and taught some more. And then he moved and got into a boat. And they headed out over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And there in the midst of that, he calmed a great storm. He taught a lesson about faith. And he ministered to the disciples. And then when he arrived at the other side in a different region, he did something else. He drove out demons into a herd of pigs and sent them off a cliff to show his power. But my point is, Jesus taught and did things along the highways and byways and pathways and journeys of life. This is the life and the teaching style of moms. At the breakfast table, at the dinner table, pickups, drop-offs, difficult conversations, conflict resolution, the one-on-ones at tournaments or games or all these things. And just, it reminded me of Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25 and following. God's word says this, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh. Sometimes your lessons that you teach, sometimes you just got to laugh at stuff. I wouldn't laugh at it. Dads wouldn't laugh at it. You know when it's time just to laugh at something. You laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. You have more wisdom than you know. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. Every person in here, I promise you, because we all had a mom, can think of some life lesson that our mom has taught us. Next slide. She watches over the affairs of her household. We already covered that. And does not eat the bread of idleness. I mean, you've heard that saying. If you need something to get done, give the job to a busy mom. Handled. Her children arise and call her blessed. It's not just Betty who has a 71-year-old child who's called blessed today. Every mom has children who arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. You're worthy of praise because we see your redemptive teaching. And you teach how Jesus did on the road of life. I had a conversation with a friend who, this is a woman who I've known since high school. She's a teacher, she's a coach, and it was on a freshman welcome night where I bumped into her, and she has three boys with her husband, and we have three boys, and we were talking about seeing our boys grow up and how fast it's gone. And she shared a little anecdote with me, and I thought, man, that's rich. I bet some people could relate to that. She said, as my middle son was getting older, she has one in high school, was getting to the point where he was about to get his driver's license. For like a year or two, all I could think of, because of all the pickups and all the drop-offs and all the circles and all the trips, I just couldn't help but think, I can't wait till this guy gets his driver's license. And then he can just go. And now, as he's about to turn 16 and get his license, she says, I'm grieving that this time with him is gonna be gone. See, the days are long, but the years are short. The days are long, but the years are short. And all of these drives and all of these conversations and all of this resolution and all the trips and all the games and all the tournaments and all this time, what you're doing, this is how you're teaching. You're making deposits into the lives of your children. And they count. You may not think you're doing a good job. You may think that other people are doing better and you're not doing it. You're making deposits and they count. And they're godly deposits. We see Jesus in you. We thank him in you. Here's a saying that I love. It's from Andy Stanley. He says this, small deposits of time over time is how you redeem the time. Moms, small deposits of time over time is how you redeem the time. And listen to me, you got to believe this. You are redeeming the time. You have redeemed the time in good and godly ways. Your sacrificial life, your unconditional love, your redemptive teaching. I see a fourth thing. We see your constant compassion. We see your constant compassion. Many times in scriptures, in God's word, God himself relates his loving compassion that never ends with the compassion of a mother for her child. I'll just give you a couple examples. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 49 at verse 15. It says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And the obvious answer is no. Your compassion may wane. You're a human being, but it never goes away because you bore this child. God says the same thing with you. Do you test my patience sometimes? Yes. Do I ever lose compassion for you? Absolutely not. Similarly, Isaiah 66 at verse 13, it says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. This is the love of God for us in and through his son, Jesus the Christ, in and through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. It's just like the way a mom comforts her child. It's how God comforts us. Sometimes it's boo-boos when we were little babies. Hey, kiss it and make it better. Then you move on to Band-Aids. Then you get stitches. And then if you're like in our household, there's so many opportunities for stitches. Eventually, you just buy your own surgical glue and take care of it yourself. But here's my point. Here's my point. What you do is, mothers have a sixth sense, an intuition. You have an ability. The simplest definition of compassion that I like is see a need, meet a need. You see a need, you meet a need. You see a need, and you meet a need. This is what our God does for us. We see Jesus in you, your constant compassion. And the greatest thing about God is he sees our deepest need, which is the forgiveness of sins and an eternal relationship with God the Father, and he meets it through the gift of his son, Jesus. His sacrificial death on the cross, his resurrection to new life, and then we can have that deepest need met. You see a need and you meet a need, and you have this sixth sense of knowing what the need is and when it is and who it's for. If you have multiple kids, you know who needs the right touch, who needs the right love. One of my favorite stories about this with my own mom is when I was 16, I just got my license. I didn't have a car yet. My mom had a car. It was a 1984 Volkswagen Vanagon GL, a four-speed with over 200,000 miles, a big Volkswagen van. Not my favorite car to drive, as you can imagine. But she drove it. And then my stepdad, Jim, who was gone a lot because he was a salesman for Xerox and he was a two-star admiral in the U.S. Navy, and so he's constantly at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, but he had this truck. And it was a Toyota 4x4 truck, and it was black, and he had the racing stripes on it. And when he was away, he was one of these guys, he kept it covered, kept a cover over his truck. And it was a 5-speed, so he loved it. And I just got my license, and I had to go to a football practice in summer, and my mom had her car, and so I'll never forget, she handed me the keys to Jim's car while he was away. And she said this, and some of you moms might be very, very compassionate in the way you communicate. You might say things like, make wise decisions, make good choices. My mom kind of cut through it. She said this, here's the keys, don't do anything stupid. That's what my mom, that was her loving message to me. So I said, I'll take that, and I'll take the car. And so I drove myself to the football practice, and then as the sun was setting and it was getting darker, I was coming home. I'm getting on Treat Boulevard, heading toward Monument Boulevard to where I grew up in Martinez, and I'm getting on the freeway and everything looks good. There's a lot of traffic. I looked to my left and just to make sure I could merge, and then when I looked back, I saw a lot of red lights right in front of me. Everybody had stopped and they were starting to go again, and I just couldn't stop it in Jim's truck. I plowed into this Toyota Tercel right in front of me, and I just remember the taillights going like fireworks on the 4th of July. And then it gets better or worse, depending on how you interpret it. And then I freaked out for all the reasons I've said, and I kept going for just a split second. Don't get the wrong idea. And then I realized, oh no, I've got to pull over, and there's no shoulder because you're like going right underneath the freeway. There's no shoulder. And so then I just pulled back out into the slow lane. I looked at my rearview mirror and I could see the guy was, you know, right behind me. And so, okay, so we got off right there at Monument and we turned around into the parking lot of what used to be the Dome Theater. Now it's another sporting goods store. And so I parked and the guy who was tailing right behind me pulls up next to me and then just keeps going and goes around the corner and parks at the theater. It wasn't the guy I hit. So now I'm sitting there several hundred yards away from where the contact was made, and I'm waiting. There's no cell phones, there's no anything. I'm just going, oh my gosh, what have I done? I'm going to jail. And I sat there for like 5 minutes, nothing, and I drove home, and my mom didn't need much intuition to just look at me, and she goes, what did you do? And I explained to her, and I was merging, and I looked over, and I saw the lights, and boom, and fireworks, 4th of July, it was a Toyota Tercel, and I kept going, and I pulled off, and she says, oh, stop right there, go back. I go, okay, I was merging. She goes, no, after that. And I go, well, I hit him, and then I freaked out, and then I kept going. She goes, yeah, right there. What were you thinking? She goes, Tyler, that's hit and run. It's a felony. And so for like 5 seconds, honestly, it was 5 seconds. She let me have it. And then like a switch went off in her. The compassion kicked in. And she took a breath and she goes, okay, here's the plan. And she gave me like a 4-point plan for how to fix this. She goes, we're going to call the highway patrol and make sure that no one's looking for you and see if we can get in contact with the person that you hit. And then next we're going to call, we're going to make a claim. And then I'm going to front you the money for the deductible. And then because I love you and the mother of all compassion for you, I will go before the admiral. And I will have the pre-conversation to your conversation. I mean, could you imagine 16 years old going before the admiral? Let us pray. I mean, I need to pray. It was so... Anyway, he was gracious. We got it fixed. But that... My mom, on a dime, it wasn't all the things I'd done wrong. It was just what I needed. I needed a plan. I needed compassion. I needed help. Moms, this is you. You know exactly what your kids need. And you give it to them in that moment. Constant compassion. Here's the fifth thing, and then we'll wrap up. We see that you are for others. This is your life. You're for others. You are for others. We feel that you're for us, and we know because we look at your life and we see, just like our Lord Jesus, you are for others. You are selfless. You never put yourself first. You're for others. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says this, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, we're for the valley. It's based in large part because of this verse right here. We know that God is for us. So we want to be a church that's for others, that's for the valley. If God is for us, who could be against us? This right here, what shall we say then in response to these things? This is a reference to everything that is above this verse. The first 30 verses of Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters in all of Scripture. We did a 3-week series going through it last week just on this chapter. Here are the things that come, here are these things that prove to us that God is for us. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God living in us, being children of God, being adopted sons and daughters, being co-heirs with Christ, having the hope of eternal life, having the Spirit help us in our weaknesses, having the Holy Spirit intercede in prayer for us according to the will of God. In all things, God working for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his good purpose. And not just called, we're chosen and justified and glorified, all these things in Christ. And so he says, what shall we say then in response to these things? It shows that God is for us. So with all that confidence, who can be against us? So when we look at you moms, we go, all these reasons that we've already mentioned, and this is just four or five. This list could be so long. It was hard to narrow. And we go, you model what it's like to be for others. So I just want to do something. If you're not a mom here, if you're not a mom in this room or in the annex, I want you to stand. Stand up if you're not a mom. Stand up. Okay. Now, it is our pleasure to look at the moms who are sitting, and we're just going to give you a standing ovation and say, awesome job. We stand for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We stand for you. You guys can sit down now, because now the message focuses on you. Now that you've risen and stood, now we have application points primarily for the people who are just standing. Moms, is just receive and be encouraged and realize that when we see you, we thank God for you because we see these Christ-like characteristics in you, and we honor you and we exalt the name of the Father in heaven because of his good gift of you in our lives. Now, we're going to transition for the last few minutes, five ways to say wow. If you're a husband, if you're a dad, if you're a son, if you're a daughter, this is where you come in. Take notes, because they come fast and furiously and they're very quick, but these are some handles to apply. You see wow. Now it's our good pleasure to say wow, to communicate our gratitude in tangible ways. Here are five ways to do it. The first one, a verbal wow. Real simple. Use your words, right? And some of us, we think, I show her. She knows I love her. Say it to her. In the best passage in Scripture where it shows the roles of a husband and a wife working together, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 33, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. This is verse 25. And sacrifice, lay down his life for her. Verse 26, it says, washing her with water from the word. And the word there is not a capital W like the word of God. It's a lowercase w. It's just the word. And in the Greek, it's rhema, which means speech, which means if you want to see your wife encouraged, if you want to see her blossom, if you want to see her bloom, talk to her and share the reasons verbally about why you look at her and you go, wow, thank you so much. It's a verbal wow. Here's another one. Here's a second one. A written wow. Now, you wrote her a card for Mother's Day. Nice job. That doesn't count right here. We're going beyond that. A written wow is where you put pen to paper, and it could be a note, it could be a letter. It's just a way of communicating your appreciation, your wow for the mom among us. It could be your earthly mom. It could be your spouse. It could be a mom that you admire. This is if you're a husband, a dad, a son, or a daughter. You take the time, and I remember a few years ago I did a wedding, and this is not a practice of mine in our household, but I admired it so much. Maybe I should start, and I'll just share it with you. There was a couple who said part of the rhythm of their lives is they took turns doing written wows to each other. And so they had this journal where if it was open and the pen was out, they just left it on the counter. And if you walked past it and it was open and the pen was out, that was the sign to their spouse, hey, I've been praising God for you, and I wrote down why, and I want you to read it. I think you'll be encouraged. And they would pick it up, and they would read it, and their heart would be filled. And when you have a relationship where you're just, and then it would just go away for a little bit, and then when someone else wanted to do a written wow, they would pull it out and write the pen, put their pen to paper, and then leave it out. And then it was just a tag team back and forth. And it was a great practice. That's just a written wow. Maybe that's something that you could do even this week. Here's the third thing. A margin wow. A margin wow. See, moms, what they do is they spend a big part of their life trying to create margin for other people. And so one of the ways that you could say wow back and express it is to give her the gift of margin. Hey, I've got everything covered for this window of time. You go away for the afternoon. You go away for the day. You go away for the night. You go away for the weekend. Whatever it is. But here's the most important part of a margin wow. You have to know, she has to know, she has to feel, she has to believe in her heart of hearts that when she goes away, you have everything 1-800-handled.com. It's done so that she can really get that gift, that margin, that peace of mind, knowing that everything is covered. That's just like that's a margin wow. A little tangible example of this is I heard many mothers thanking the Warriors for winning game 6 a couple nights ago. Because game 7 would have been this afternoon. And then all the husbands would be watching the Warrior game and watching game 7. And now the Warriors have given all these moms the gift of margin. That's a margin wow. Yeah. Here's a fourth thing. Just two more. A home wow. A home wow. Now don't get intimidated, sons. Don't get intimidated, daughters. Don't get intimidated, husbands. This could be as easy as a cup of coffee in the morning. Here, I made it just how you like it. It could be doing the dishes. It could be an unsolicited clean this or clean that. It could be a project, a honeydew that you know that has been on her list. They have a knack for making things very clear when they want something done. Sometimes they use words, sometimes they don't. But you know that you know that you know that there's something. So for me, we're just sitting right here. She wants me to fix and use the power washer in our backyard. And that power washer hasn't been touched, hasn't been utilized in like 2 years. But she's in love. She's like, figure it out. I mean, this is just what you do. I mean, figure it out, get it working, power wash. It's just a home wow. It could be cleaning the garage. It could be a larger project. I don't know. Could be big, could be small. It's just a way to communicate, a way to say, wow, I honor you. And here's the last one, a future wow, a future wow. Nothing better than to plan something as a future wow. And I know there's different moms in here, different types of women, and some women love a good surprise. Some women love the idea of a surprise much more than an actual surprise. And I would say, I would know that about your wife or know that about your mom if that's her, because you could just lay the groundwork for a plan and then get a lot of points, if you will, for inviting her feedback into the plan to help make the plan really something that she would want to do or be a part of in the future, and then you go back to working the plan. Am I making sense? But that's a future. It could be a verbal, a written, a marginal, a home, or a future. These are just tangible ways to say, wow, so grateful to God for you. Let's just end where we started with the big idea. We can see sacrificial life, unconditional love, redemptive teaching, constant compassion, a life for others. We can see these things in you. And we should say, wow, to honor the moms among us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, would you stand with me? We're going to close this day off. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to celebrate moms. We give you glory and praise, Jesus, for the gift that you have given us in our moms. For the moms among us in here, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would impress upon their hearts that they should be encouraged this morning, that they don't need to be perfect because, Jesus, you were perfect. There's only one perfect person, you, Jesus. And your perfection has covered all of our imperfections. And so we exalt you this morning. And we honor, we value, we respect, we highly esteem the moms among us. And we know that this gives you praise and this makes you smile, Jesus. Because this is your divine plan for the impact and influence of mothers according to your will. Lord, we pray that you would meet by your Spirit the needs of every person, a young person, an older person, maybe a mom who or a woman who wants to be a mom and has not experienced that yet. Would you comfort them? Be tender, be compassionate, We just thank you so much. What an opportunity to worship you and give you praise and glory for these women that you have given us in our lives. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.